Thank you, Shane.
Kia ora.
Kia ora. Take us down to Pike River. Last time we spoke, you were opening up a mahi down there, but also, you know, proud to stand and support the mining sector. Shane, talk with us about what you witnessed there and perhaps any potential for Māori mining.
Well, the most important thing in terms of my recent visit down there was to honour a commitment made by an earlier government, and that was to enable the memorial track to be opened. That track commemorates the awful death and whatnot of people, but to try and provide an opportunity for renewal. And, yeah, a heavy kaupapa, but I was aided by the fact that Mr. Nick Smith was there, and he had been the minister who had to deal with some of the heaviness associated back in 2010. And, you know, people want to move on, but obviously it's difficult to move on at Pike River completely because the bodies were never recovered. So, yeah, a complex situation and requires a fair degree of sensitivity, but there was no willingness or agenda to put to the sword the mining industry, just a plea that the lessons be learned, which led to that awful tragedy.
What about Māori and mining? It's not something we hear too often.
No, no. Of course, some of the highest paying jobs that Māori have are in the mining industry, but I'm the first to admit that there is a level of disharmony between the term mining in Māori, but that's got to change because we have inordinately important resources that our government is going to redevelop and open up. And some of the finest beneficiaries of that experience are going to be our own people, many of whom are away in Australia doing mining. But look, the fast track legislation, which is soon going to hit Parliament, will provide an opportunity for ministers to receive. I'm not going to run away from the fact that a lot of our iwi leadership have a dim view about mining. I'm not going to run away from that. I'm sad that that has been infused with an ideology which is anti-resource development. But look, in some of these areas, and I'm not going to gild the lily, in some of these areas, there will be disruptiveness in terms of the natural environment, but there's a lot of techniques and strategies to reinstate the environment, so you'd hardly know there had been mining there. But we've got a big challenge in front of us. If we want to boost our resilience, we need to ensure we've got the food and the minerals and the fuel ourselves, rather than relying on distant nations who may not share the same values or the same priorities of New Zealand. So do we leave it in the ground on the belief that Papatūānuku will be less vulnerable, or do we continually import it from overseas where our national vulnerability may very well be imperiled? That's the moral trade-off in my view.
Do you think that as a people we've discussed this well enough? I mean, if there is little environmental degradation involved with a mining practice, perhaps it's an area where post-settlement iwi might delve, but maybe that couldn't happen until we elevate the status of the kaupapa and have a decent kōrero about it. Do you think that's been done by Māori?
I think in specific areas, and you raise a damn good point, I think in specific areas it's well and truly being discussed, and obviously you only have to look at Coromandel and parts of Hauraki and on the west coast. And I don't want to put any words in the mouth of Kāti Waiwai, but they're right in the middle of it, a hapu of Ngaitahu, and they've got to straddle two poles. One is that the doctor's status tapu and should never be disfigured, and the other is we desperately need in that part of New Zealand well-paying jobs because they're losing their population. I think they're down 35,000. And there probably hasn't been a national conversation, largely because after Jerry Brownlee led the mining revival kaupapa in 2009 or 10, and it resulted in 45,000 people protesting against him, as I recall, up the Queen Street. And I went on that went on that week. He called him the Hoha, so we stopped and had a couple of hamburgers and the media saw us. So we weren't highly animated by the march because many of our nephews actually work in the mining industry. But whether or not it's appropriate for Shane Jones as the mining minister to lead that discussion, I'm not sure, but I'm not going to run away from it. I know it does taint my image slightly, but if these natural resources are available for our own people and for the development of our nation, then there's some hard trade-offs that have to be made.
What do you make of the Crown, assuming everything under the ground is its... Maybe we've still got you there, Shane?
Hey, can you hear me, mate?
Yeah, no, I didn't hear what you whispered. Can you share that with us?
No, I'm just making sure that I've got good cell phone coverage here.
It's going...
I can answer that. Sirapadana Ngata published a great article prior to the Crown nationalising the petroleum and oil resource, and that's now regarded as a strategic and Crown mineral. And for those history buffs listening to our kōrero, go and Google the great article written by Sirapadana Ngata, because there is petroleum and oil traces in the Tairawhiti area. Uranium belongs to the Crown. But look, a lot of minerals, if they're under private land, then not only do you need to get the permission from the private landowner, but they have rights to those minerals. Around Mōkō, if I'm not mistaken, there remains a large coal field. Now, coal's very problematic because of its contribution to carbon emissions and worsening of the profile in that regard. But we already import coal from Indonesia to keep the lights on. Why aren't we using our own coal rather than in a clandestine fashion, furtively bringing it in from Indonesia? There's heaps of coal around the Waikato Tainui area. There's heaps of coal that's already being dug up into Taipotini. This is the trade-off that I'm telling you about. Now, it is very difficult because people have a sense of repugnance when you talk about coal. Not everyone, but well-organized and well-heeled international green groups.
Tēnā koe. Obviously, there's a lean-in, and perhaps unnecessarily, yesterday, taking a swipe at people who've been on the unemployment benefit for too long. Look, while you're part of the government, you're also a proud tāne from Tai Tukuro. How will you go into bat for the NEFs in this regard?
Oh, look, many of the employers up home and many of the grandmothers and grandfathers, they actually know that with a wee bit of a prod and a poke, a lot of these young men and women, they will stop getting up at 10 o'clock and going to buy McDonald's in their pajamas. They will be made to go back to work. And in many respects, they were born into it, but not all. And will it jolt everyone out of that slumber? Probably not. Will it have an electrifying effect on some people and give confidence to employers that they can work with new employees? Absolutely. I think it was a bit apocryphal, the way in which the media suggested that a cancer payment patient would lose their benefit and be forced to work. I feel our social welfare minister clarified that this morning. That's not the case at all. In any way, such a person wouldn't be on the job seeker benefit.
Tēnā koe, Shane. Thanks for sharing some time with us. All the best for the week ahead. We'll talk again next.
Amahi.
Kia ora. Shane Jones.